you know, I imagine the Nathan.
Hot and sunny side.
Yeah, the Nathan Society had it.
Yeah, I haven't seen
national
far out. Okay.
What was the name of that airport?
That's important.
But it was just hot as the huts of hell.
Decisions.
I think it was in the middle of July, and there was a tree on the airport, everybody was trying to grab under it.
So before you start the meeting, commissioners, Frank has been able to hear us have conversation, but if he can't hear us, I will turn on the microphone for you guys, so that I'll amplify back to him, but it sounds like he's been able to hear us pretty well.
Okay, so since it's 1 o'clock, I'm going to call this first monthly meeting of the Board of Port Townsend order. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, on the agenda, we have one addition to make. That's we're going to add just prior to the public hearing. We have Larry Dunbar, the new executive director of the PUD, and Ken Collins. One or both of them are going to give us a presentation on broadband. And are there any other changes to the agenda that you want to suggest?
Yes, Mr. Chair, if I may suggest for executive session, we would like to remove item A, potential litigation.
Okay.
But also add an additional item, and that is discussion of acceptable minimum price and price related to a lease. This is also a continuation of our discussion about WDMWs.
Okay. Any other additions or to the agenda?
No. Our schedule is.
Frank will know.
Frank?
Put that on your computer.
We are adding an additional item to the executive session regarding the acceptable minimum price for the lease of property. And can you give us the RCW on that?
I can. Let me look it up.
Okay.
And you also have to discuss the factors in public before
yes.
you go into. Yeah, let me get it for you here.
So this is the same one as last time.
This same, it's the same one as last time. There's no new issues. It's just additional information. But if you feel it's prudent for us to discuss the factor before we adjourn to executive session, we can add that to the agenda.
I think it should be I, isn't it? Is it I?
It's 42.30.110.1C.
C? Okay. Got it.
C is in code.
Good. Thank you.
And so should we also add additional item to the regular business schedule for the discussion of the factor before we adjourn, or can we rely on the fact that we've discussed these same factors at our last session?
Let's add it as part of the public meeting to discuss the factors that may bear upon price.
Okay.
Do you have those factors there?
Yes, it is related to duty to cure clause and self-help.
Okay, so we have those factors. Yeah. So do I enter a motion to approve the agenda?
And terminate. I make that motion.
No. Well, I'll second that.
Yeah, second. Well, I'm just comment. And that was the comment.
Okay.
I was just thinking about where you would put in those factors, and I think that would be on number 9, actually, to more depth on it.
At number 8, regular business. Yeah, so it would be the addition of item A under there, and it would be factors pertaining to.
Yeah.
WDFW lease, and then we can again discuss those before we adjourn.
Yeah,
good point.
Good.
Okay.
The motion's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the agenda's been approved. Public comments. This is different than a public hearing. So we're having a public hearing later on. This is public comments. We have you as an agenda item, so you'll be after the consent agenda. Okay. So we're hearing no public comments.
Wait,
go ahead.
Yeah.
I just wanted to once again come before you as a supporter of the court staff and that...
Frank, can you hear that?
If we can't hear him, it's a feedback.
It's a feedback.
Yeah.
How about, Melinda, if you came up here...
How about if we put the mic out there?
Is that mic working? It's feedback. It's just echo in Frank's room.
It's Frank's fault.
It's Frank's fault.
Sorry. Oh, thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I sent you all an email this morning and basically reminding you that the court that you put together, the staff put together a budget for 2018. And that budget was your direction to the staff on what you wanted to be done. So far this year, they have exceeded their budget for revenue and income. And I hear no accolades for that. Instead, I hear a lot of, I would say, bitching and moaning from people out in the public that have no idea what it actually takes to do the job. I was appalled by a letter that you received that impugned Ms. Gibney's integrity, and I am hoping that, as in the last statement I made to you all, that you will step up and act as commissioners and protect your staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Melinda. Okay.
Oops, you got another one.
Another one, okay. George?
Yeah. But I only have eyes for you.
George, local resident.
Frank is
the
smiling.
Is delayed, so, yeah.
Nice, sweetheart. Any rate.
Now he's crawling under the desk.
I'm part of a group called Local 2020 looking at sea level rise and climate change. And last year in 2017, March, the current update of what is going to be, what is going to be in. Totally flooded and also stormwater. I have these maps here. I'd like to share them with you because they talk about 2030, which is approximately how many years you do the math from here at this particular time. And it shows pretty much most of the area that we have here that will be flooded. How will that affect your stormwater drainage system? Can it survive? And I think we need to take the time, have the lead time to figure out how we're going to resolve this. So I'm going to leave these with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. Okay, this time when I say, are there any more public comments, I'll leave my head up and look. None. Okay. Last call. So next up is the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent? Are there any discussion on the consent agenda?
Make a move to approve the consent agenda.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
The consent agenda is approved. So now it's time for Ken to talk to us about the broadband.
Good afternoon, here. Commissioners.
Why don't you take this?
Sure.
That way we know that we can hear you.
I appreciate the opportunity to first of all introduce our relatively new general manager of the PUD, Larry Dunbar. As you know, I'm Kenneth Collins, District 2 PUD Commissioner. The purpose of our being here is to ask for your support and involvement. The PUD is applying for a state grant, a planning grant, so that we can work out a scheme for extending broadband internet throughout the various corners of the county. As I'm sure you're aware, there are many areas of Jefferson County that either have no access to high-speed broadband at all or access to very limited broadband, and Jefferson County is designated by the state of Washington as a distressed area. That designation is based on Jefferson County's having more than a 20% higher unemployment rate than the state average. And I think that providing broadband to various parts of Jefferson County can be part of the solution to bringing our unemployment rate down and creating opportunities. So having said that, thank you for your time. I'll turn the microphone over to Mr. Dunbar.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Dunbar. I'm the new general manager of the PUD. I've been there 2 months, and I think this is my third week. So it's nice to be here, and I appreciate you putting this on the agenda today. Thank you so much. And as Mr. Collins has explained, we're in the process of applying for a CURB grant. It's a competitive grant, and one of the ways we want to help position ourselves to win a grant is to partner with others, such as the Port of Port Townsend, and we are requesting that you consider a letter of support from the chair of the commission to Mr. Collins or to anyone at the PUD. It'll work. But what we are planning to do with this grant is use it to conduct a strategic plan for the PUD in partnership with Jefferson County. We're seeking similar support from the Jefferson County Commissioners, and we'll be approaching the city of Port Townsend next week as well. And then we're also going in concert with others in the community as well. And what we're considering doing is putting together a plan. The plan will provide a menu of options for the PUD's commissioners to consider, ranging from building fiber optics perhaps to every home and business in the county to something as lower of a scale as building more PUD-owned fiber to perhaps our substations and water treatment facilities. The PUD owns a considerable amount of fiber optics today, and we will likely expand that fiber over the future, but we'd like to do it in a smart way, a way that can benefit the rest of the county, not just the PUD. And we are limited in our authority to provide telecommunications. We can build fiber optics and telecommunication facilities to serve our own needs, such as our own communications to our substations, just as an example. But we are not authorized by state law to retail services directly to customers. We can't have a customer relationship. So just from the get-go, that means we have to partner with others to make things go beyond just meeting the PUD's needs. And that's exactly what we are planning to do as part of this plan, is to put together a group of representative public agencies that want to be a participant, so we make sure we meet your needs, as well as inviting private sector ISPs and others that would ultimately be service providers using PUD facilities. So we anticipate making this a very collaborative and cooperative planning process, the results of which would be considered by our Commission for Budgeting in year 2020. So they'll have a range of options to consider, and ultimately it's the PUD's commissioners that make the decision as to what gets built by PUD ratepayer monies. So that's what we're contemplating at this time, and we would really appreciate your consideration of a letter of support. That's the action that we'll be requesting. I'll send your executive director a sample of a letter of support. You can embellish it any way you want, but oftentimes it just helps to have a draft of what we would recommend. So thank you for your time today. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I think that this is a wonderful thing. You know, we've all been touch with broadband and how it's helped economically other counties, and I was all excited to do it ourselves. But we were just, our last meeting we had a conversation of how we need to prioritize because we've got a little too many things in our place. So I think this is a wonderful way to have the same thing happen that we were trying to accomplish. So as someone who has a much 1% of their revenues would be a lot more effective than 1% of ours in doing something like this. And
been, what's the recent change with us, the courts, in terms of state law?
So, the most recent thing that they, that the revision to the RCWs essentially makes, gives the authority to all public courts, not just, before this it was just rural public courts. Now they've taken the rural out, so it's all public courts have the authority to construct, buy, lease broadband facilities for wholesale. Again, we can't retail.
Like the PUD.
We have the same restriction there at the PUD as the thing that they have, that they took. The clause that they put into this new regulation is that not only can we not retail, we can't light fiber.
You have to find a provider, you have to light it at one end. I mean,
we can
put fiber in the ground.
You can put fiber in the ground,
or we can
buy fiber facilities on a wholesale basis from the PUD, but we can't put equipment on the end of it. We can't have a retail customer relationship.
Just like the PUD.
I think the PUD can light fiber. I don't think they have that restriction. I don't know why they put that restriction in the court language. I had discussions with the governor's people. I've had discussions with our legislators, our state legislators, and there seems to be an argument about what light the fiber means. So I've asked them for a clarification of that. The other thing that I've asked them for a clarification on is that the port can buy facilities for our own internal purposes. That's a regulatory authority we have. But apparently we can't buy it from the PUD because then that makes us a retail customer. That seems like a totally strange thing for the legislature to ask, is essentially to make government less efficient by not allowing government agencies to share facilities. That's just, I mean, it's done in virtually every other part of government. This is just strange. So I've asked that they look at that, and I've been assured that the governor doesn't feel like that's a reasonable restriction. But the legislature makes the law, so we'll see.
So Bill, Bill's been more involved in this than I have. Is there any advantages that courts have over PUDs that we could assist, or is there any advantages that PUDs have over, in other words, is there a synergy here, or is just us supporting them, or how can we work together there?
I mean, from the court's perspective, I think from the court's perspective, broadband comes under the rubric of our economic development mandate.
Right.
And you know, anything that we can do to remove barriers to economic development is certainly, you know, something we should be doing. You know, in areas where a private agency is essentially the power carrier, it may not make sense it may make more sense for the court to be doing that stuff than you know, there's no PUD to do it. I think that we can collaborate with the PUD. We have property, we can build facilities
like if we could build a data center as a business, to have colos for county businesses, co-location sites, to be a distribution hub for the fiber to business, fiber to home kind of thing, and that way collaborate with the PUD on this. So I think there's room for collaboration. I don't know that our collaboration is gating for what they want to do, but I certainly think we should support it. Because it is one of really two fundamental gates to economic development.
I agree.
So yeah.
In that regard, I think that we're probably unanimous in suggesting that we support a letter of support.
Yeah. Yeah. One question. So, Larry, are you familiar? There's several ports. I know one port in particular,
Whitman.
Yeah, has put in dark fiber. And they used federal grant money. Do you know, Sam, where that came from?
I do not.
It was announced recently. There's been these grants on and off. There's been announced recently some more federal money for rural broadband.
USDA
has. And USDA has grant money. And some of them under the current administration, the mechanisms for actually getting that money used is kind of tortured.
So the comment is, you know, it may be that we want to collaborate in terms of funding. So that might be something we want to look at. It is a pretty big interest, I think I could say, as far as ports go in the state of Washington, because of the recent legislation that dark fiber is kind of a pretty interesting industry to look at, as you guys are definitely pointing out. So. I guess, yeah,
there from my
perspective, anything that we can do to help facilitate.
I mean, there are these, for, as far as construction goes, there are grants, and grants have limits, so it could be that to build the whole system, that the PUD got a grant for a portion of it, and the port got a grant for a portion of it, and we create this interchange so that everything can connect. But that kind of doubling up on the funding might.
So now we have a group called the WPDA where all the boards get together and they share their horror stories and their successes. And this is a topic that a lot of boards have really put a lot of effort into. And so I'm not sure if there's a similar PUD association and if they have similar PUDs and been really active in this. We're more than happy to share any resources that we have with you.
Just to clarify, so I'm hearing consensus. I don't think we need to take a motion to receive and get a letter together and have the chair sign it on the commission's behalf.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, it's now 1:23 on Wednesday the 11th in the Port Commission Building at 333 Benedict Street. This is the time and the place for a public hearing on the amendment of the Port of Port Townsend's 2018 capital budget. All persons wishing to be heard should have signed in at the sign-in table. If you've not done so, please do so now. Not a rush.
There's no one.
No one signed in?
No one has signed in.
We're off the hook. I mean, if there's no one signed in, there's no public hearing.
Frank, do you want to sign in?
Well, I'll be darned.
We can't hear Frank.
No, thank you.
Oh. No, not Bob.
Right.
Bob.
I'll call you Mr. Frank.
Frank, can you say what you said again?
He's French.
Hello, say something,
Frank,
so we can get your voice level.
Frank?
Quit sucking your thumb into something. Okay.
Yep. He's there.
Okay. So?
So there are no public comments. Can we just then close the public hearing?
Correct. Just close the public hearing. No public comments.
Okay.
Public hearing is closed.
So with no public comments, there's no public hearing. This public hearing is closed. So now let's have a, we'll go on to the second reading, the capital budget amendment.
Where's that?
So this is a proposal for your consideration to amend the capital budget for 2018 to include some additional projects. We have provided you a copy of the originally adopted 2018 capital budget as well as the proposed amended. And then project descriptions for all of the items that are included. We have some additions of projects to include stormwater compliance efforts, and that includes doing some additional engineering as well as probably the deployment of some of these Kaizen filters that we're looking at. The WDFW air system and other issues related to compliance with potential lease for improving the, I don't want to call it air quality because that's a technical term, but nor the ambient air odor in the building. Improving the workyard surface that would include placing gravel, and then the repair of the Coast Seafood roof at the Coast Seafood facility. We have decreased the amount of equipment purchase from $150,000 to $75,000. And the Point Hudson Jetty South, that is basically money that has in effect already been expended or obligated. And the Jefferson County Airport runway is ongoing design. And that remains unchanged from the originally adopted budget.
Can you kind of walk us through this this mid-year change here?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so this is an amendment to the cash flow that was presented as part of the budget for 2018. And so these are projections prepared by our auditor, Ms. Berg. And so we have a beginning unreserved cash and reserve cash balance. Then our budgeted operating reserves, our operating revenues, operating expenses, basically the in and out, those are from the adopted budget. Those are not changed. We then have non-operating revenues, and that includes our tax levy as well as other capital inputs from grants for capital projects. Then our debt service, we originally were accounting for the issuance of a bond for the jetty. And so then all the capital expenses kind of in and out. And so in this, from the original budget, you can see that we are, for example, with the issuance of the bond debt, we are saying that we're not gonna do that now, so we are basically zeroing that out. So then the third column is the 2018 amended budgeted cash flow. And so we've adjusted all the these items, and then what we are then estimating is our cash balance at the end of 2018 would be just below $1.7 million. And that is a combination of both reserved and unreserved cash. Does that answer your question, Commissioner?
Yeah, kind of.
You have additional ones on that.
Well, I'm trying to figure out this 581 down to 138. Budgeted first column, increase, decrease in cash. The line item is increase, decrease in cash. The first column is 581 and 519. Third column is 138, 793.
Right. So the original budget is that we were going to have a increase of cash of 581. We're then doing everything that adds up in the second column is a difference of 720, which then the projected of incorporating these proposed new capital projects as well as the reduction in some and the taking out of additional jetty is that we would see a projected decrease in our cash position of $138,793.
Okay.
So we were originally budgeting for a to add to our cash balance of $581,000, and with this proposed budget, we will be decreasing our cash position by $138,000.
With a $700,000 difference.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, you
yes.
Prankered that.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah.
This was accepted and read into the public hearing. Is that right?
That is a question. If this was correspondence that was provided to.
I think Sue made a note that was going to be added here. But it's this. Liz.
I think it's correspondence that. Frank, we have a question. We received a letter to the commissioners in advance of the public hearing. They've all received a hard copy of it. I don't believe that we need to read this into the record as part of the public hearing. They've received the correspondence. Is that correct?
Correct. You just need to pass it. You're just going to pass the amended budget. Just pass it.
Okay.
Right. And then any correspondence you have, you can put in the record.
Okay. Yeah. So it'll just be in the record.
Well,
yeah,
I'm sure that we were.
Yeah. And so just to be clear, did all the commissioners receive
yes.
this letter? Okay.
Okay, so what this in your budget amendment says is that we're lessening our cash position from
mm-hmm.
$2,000,003 budgeted at cash to $1,000,006 or $1,000,007. But we're accomplishing these previous things we just said that we didn't really go over one by one. But
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that this reflects, again, or to remind the commission, is that with the issuance of the bond for the jetty, we had anticipated that we would use $500,000 of that to replenish our cash reserves.
Right.
Those cash reserves were expended to adjust the stormwater administrative order.
Uh-huh.
And so that this decrease in our overall net cash position is reflective of that. We're not going to receive those bond.
Got it.
Proceeds.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
And the $95,000 for the air system for the WDFW lease is a point of consideration for the executive session. It's kind of soft at this point.
That is correct. I would say that's a correct characterization. I would remind the commission of the items that are proposed on here, that this would give the staff authorization to proceed with going to bid on the items. You would still have a review. You know, we'd come back to you for approval of the contracts. So, but this would allow your staff to move forward with advertising. We actually have, for example, with the post roof replacement, we already have a bid package prepared. So we're just ready to go out to bid for that. But, and while this is technically within the executive director's authority, at this point, you know, I would bring that back to you likely because it's so close to my limit, just to make sure that you were in concurrence with me.
Okay, so what I'm looking at in these projects is that they're all important projects that need to be done to preserve cash flow, but none of them actually creates any revenue. Right?
Well, WDFW
preserves cash flow, preserves revenue, but doesn't create revenue.
Doesn't create new revenue either. Yeah.
It does.
Because it's because their lease is about to expire. And so that's a little bit of a nuanced position, but you're right, it's not creating like new business development. Or
I guess what I'm getting to eventually, in a kind of a roundabout way, is we did actually expend some funds to create revenue in the fact that the pool house has got heaters in and is now available for rent. Is that correct?
pool house does not have additional heaters in it. It has been, repairs have been made and external painting, et cetera. We did not, at the commissioner's direction, choose not to put any additional airflow or heating into it and until and unless we have somebody that's wanting to lease it and they want that part of their rental package. So we did not install any new heaters, it's just the existing baseboards.
So the direction sounded like from Kupo, for example, bring in the rent, and then if it's justified, then that's, and if it's required as part of the terms, we would put that before you and you decide if we're willing to expend those funds to bring in a new tenant. But otherwise, we're not going to spend funds unless we have as part of the deal.
We're not going to speculatively put in Eagles so that we can get a fighter.
As is where it is.
Right.
For now.
Is any effort being made to find a tenant for the sale off? Boat shop building with its current situation, which means you can't have a boat shop in there that creates explosive dust and film and stuff.
Yep.
Is there anybody looking at that?
We have one entity that has expressed an interest in that I know of. Are there any additional ones for Dreamland? Yeah, we have one an entity that is potentially looking at.
They just want part of it. I don't think they want the whole thing, right?
We might be speaking of two different. Yeah, we can compare notes afterwards.
In other words, you can kind of get from the gist of my comments is that we're spending money to keep revenue coming.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't really identified any way to generate any new revenue yet. And we're still shy of some capital expenditures or some expenditures to be able to get new revenue in the form of doing whatever improvements I think needed to be done to make that part of the sale off to go place, unless we have some other option, other uses, or if we, I'm not sure, I don't know, is someone going to look at the Kupo house with no heat and with those little chopped up rooms and say, I can see the value maybe?
Well, it's going to go into the price that we negotiated.
So do you got anybody looking at it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
And that'll be brought before you.
Yeah. My commission, there, you know, we have identified a number of projects. We really winnowed this list down to really what we consider the absolute highest priorities, compliance with the administrative order, and a roof that needs to be replaced, and then something for our lease extension from WDFW. Those are essentially the items that we've added here. And so we're really trying to pare it down to those things that we consider just absolute essential.
So how comfortable is our auditor with that cash balance of 1.6, which is the lowest I've ever seen?
It's causing a deal of discomfort with all of your staff. And we are, I do have a discussion with another bank for potential line of credit, et cetera, but this is definitely below the recommended cash levels that we would have. And yet we also see that we need to come into compliance with the administrative order, and I think this is absolutely the most cost-effective way to do so. I think that we have a roof that needs to be replaced for one of our major tenants. The jetty monies have essentially been expended. There's no new expenditures there. It is why I think your staff is so laser focused on increasing our net operating income, because we understand the cash position the organization is in.
So structurally, I kind of assume that if you look year over year, that always things come up in the middle of the year that we deal with.
Mm-hmm.
in expectation of that contingency, is there a mechanism to, in the annual budget, say here is a contingency amount based on previous year's experience that, that we should hold in the budget? Because I think it gives us a more realistic, you know, at the beginning of the year, it gives us a more realistic picture of where we're going and what kind of income we have to raise. Mm-hmm. And what our latitude really is with respect to expenses. Mm-hmm. And then if, you know, the happy circumstance happens that we make it through a year, you know, we don't incur those expenses, you know, we can certainly put that amount into the cash reserve or mm-hmm. carry it over to the mm-hmm. next year or whatever mechanism we want to use. But I think that coming halfway through the year, if we do this every year, making these kind of midway corrections, and maybe some mechanism at the annual financial planning session should include a contingency.
Yeah.
If we do that with other sorts of projects, if we're going to have those contingency amounts in for projects, we have those contingency amounts in the budget.
And I think that the other way that we look at this, and this is the way that I'm used to budgeting for these type of things, is to really have a very rigorous facilities maintenance plan, and that you can anticipate these types of repairs and repairs of the nature that they really become capitalizable. And so that's what we have been working to institute, but the organization has not had that in the past. And so you're right, we shouldn't be surprised by looking out and saying, you know, oh, wow, we need to replace this roof now. In an ideal world, you have a capital facilities plan, and you're looking at it and you say, that roof is going to need to be replaced in 2020, and you're rolling that into your facilities maintenance plan. And so in that way, you could have that in your maintenance budget and your operating budget. And I know there's always some question of, like, you know, are these capital projects or are they repair and maintenance projects? There are many of these that really do fall into the repair and maintenance. Roadway surface maintenance, the roofs, et cetera. That's not traditionally how this organization has done it. I think that there, you know, what Mr. England and I especially are really moving towards, let's get those programmatic plans so that we can see things coming and we're not surprised by those. I think what you're dealing with, you still have, again, a relatively new staff, and there's not been a robust inventory of the assets and understanding what are the needs that are coming up. I would also then say that there has been some that is done, and that is the capital repair and replacement plan that was completed, I think, in 2015. It was not absolutely exhaustive. It was not intended to be that way. It was, I mean, what are the most essential and kind of dire projects that has not been adopted, and it's kind of not the tool that I would use at this point.
I think that things have a useful life expectancy,
mm-hmm.
and I think in a lot of areas mm-hmm. we're beyond the useful life expectancy,
absolutely.
And we're living on borrowed time. Mm-hmm. So I think what I'm trying to say mm-hmm. is that if we're going to have maintenance items that are not dealt with, not because they're not due, but because we can't afford to do them, mm-hmm. that we need to expect that those things are going to come up in the interim between the time the budget is passed and mm-hmm. the time mm-hmm. The budget period is over. We need to have some contingency for those things finally giving up,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. in an unexpected fashion.
So. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, I want to be careful with staff, particularly Larry, and Larry's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we pay that position for.
Mm-hmm.
And that position has been, I think, the worst in terms of getting ready for budget and presenting an adequate program of how to deal with things. And so this is the second year you've come to us mid-year wanting changes. And I'm with Bill, it's irresponsible that we're doing this. It really is. And we've got to, it isn't how you run a business. You know, we've been talking about stuff we're going to do on the boats for 3 months. We're getting ready to start budgeting. So I know that Larry's coming up to sunset, and that's great, and I'm happy for him. But, you know, whoever steps into those shoes is going to have to come to the party budgeting, ready to do the job. And because I don't want to do this again next year. Get mid-year and be talking about replacing roofs and things that should have been talked about in Q3 or Q4 of last year. Definitely Q3.
Yep. I absolutely concur with you. I again will tell you that I have incredible respect for our maintenance staff and what the ability to kind of hold the place together. And there just has not ever been a comprehensive assessment and a systematic approach. And so that's what we're hoping we already have begun introducing to the organization. And so that doesn't get invented overnight. I would tell you that Hamish Walsh Rubel went through a process and they hired an outside firm to come in, and it took them 9 months to inventory and assess their properties and create a program for them. So it's not a small feat to do that. I think that I would absolutely love to have the resources to do this in a comprehensive manner. Because of our, you know, it's that we're really trying to bolster our cash position, and so do it with in the confines of our existing staff. I think we all have the same goal in mind, and these situations were, you know, they weren't created overnight, and but we have now roofs that are reached the end of their serviceable life. And you know,
what do you envision would be different in the study that you're contemplating compared to the 2015 capital repair?
I think it would be much more systematic in identifying each of the kind of service areas of a building. What does that HVAC needs? You know, when were they installed? What is the condition of it? What are the floor and window coverings? What are outside needs? What are the roofs? So you kind of, the way that I have done this before, you have each of the systems in a building kind of outlined with where you think their life is, and then you have that programmed out. But yeah, I think we've got 10 more years left on that roof. So, you know, you go and, you know, 2029, we have to have that absolutely replaced, so we need to start planning for that in 2015. So it's very systematic. I think what the capital repair and replacement plan was really, what are the absolute essential things that staff could see at that point? So it was, did include roofs, but it wasn't necessarily going through every roof and inventorying and giving them an assessment of a life, just saying, these roofs are failing. And indeed, the coast roof has been on there. You know, so I think staff and has been for quite a while signaling to management and the commission that there were unmet maintenance needs, and so now the life has really gone out of some of them.
I'm just saying that given the fact that we don't to a certainly know what we don't know, that at least we can project some lump sum into the budget, so that we don't go halfway through the year thinking we're just, you know, tickety boo, and then find out that we have a big bill to pay.
Well, I think to be fair, we have to realize that we were anticipating a lump sum of about $500,000 out of the bonding stuff. So this was a kind of a wacky year that we're having to scramble around to make up for, because we didn't have a different plan. So.
I mean, I hope that as time goes along and as plans progress and as things get fixed, that contingency, you know, amount will shrink. But I think that it's only prudent to look
through the past few years and say, what is, you know, has there been this amount over time, and maybe we should plan for that.
I think the other thing for considering, and another way to, I think, address what you're talking about is just to really increase the amount of in supplies for the maintenance budget, and say we're going to do as much of the stuff with our internal staff and as allowed by law, and that we're going to say that it's going to be a lot more than we have traditionally budgeted. And so we have these things that are going to need to be replaced, and then issues like, you know, repair of a roof may not even, you know, come to the commission's attention because we're just dealing with that in the maintenance plan.
But what you can't do is write two checks on the same amount of money. You can't say, well, we're going to spend $500,000 more this year on maintenance than we did last year because we had this mid-year correction of $500,000. So that depends on you picking exactly the things that we didn't know were going to fail or have problems midway through the year.
Yeah.
So I think it's great to get more aggressive with maintenance, but I think you still need the contingency for the things you don't know. And,
right.
You know, the cable breaking, a hoist, a plan that didn't pan out, a lease that got canceled mid-year through and caused an impact on the budget. A boat hits the breakwater, you know, whatever it is, but we have these things that...
Come on, shut up.
You know, we have things that
yes, welcome to Fort Townsend, Frank.
Yeah, these things have come up, so we should create a contingency for it in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about budget is that I'm looking here that this is the 2018 budgeted cash flow. And since we're quite a ways ahead of the budgeted cash flow due to our stellar performance in the yard and RVs and so forth, are these figures reflecting that?
No, they are not reflecting. These are budgeted. We want to be conservative in what we place in front of you. And while we certainly our intention is that we continue our performance throughout the remainder of the year, that we did want to be conservative. So this is just our budgeted. It could well be that we perform better than these budgeted, and we anticipate that, but we did not want to put that before you because did not feel that was prudent.
What's our year to date?
Yeah, we're
advanced over the budget.
We are 12% over operating revenue, and we are over budget. We are 5% over operating revenue and net income, and we are 154% over budget. So our net income is, at this point in time, is looking very strong.
Over the budget cash flow.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're building out all this information with you. And you're doing it. You started with the CRRP in 2015, and you build on it. It wasn't meant to be a perfect or comprehensive diagram. Or, I mean, Pete's, Commissioner Hankey's, that's, if you bought a new boat, and you know it doesn't come with a plan, or it's not new, it's used, then you gotta go through the propulsion system, the structures, everything you need. Until you inspect it, you don't really know. If a boat's sitting in the water and you haven't hauled it, you really don't know what you don't know. And that's where, as this unfolds, but fully in agreement, that there's gotta be a really much better maintenance program that's detailed, as well as the, and then you eliminate risks, you know, as we go forward. I think we agree.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve this.
I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okie dokie.
Next.
Factors. Let's see. First meeting we have announced the regular business is factors in the minimum price.
And the factors were?
The factors that may affect the acceptable minimum price that will choose to discuss in executive session are Duty to cure.
Self-help.
Self-help provisions of the contract and...
Termination.
Termination clause. And so these were previously discussed. They all, the duty to cure is the obligation for the port to effect certain repairs or other upgrades to the building. The self-help provision is that would provide the ability for the tenant to, if they felt as if the port was not doing that, that they would be able to implement it and then receive a rent, a lease credit for that, and then termination clause and what. So those are the factors that would affect acceptable minimum price.
Thank you. Okay, so that's all we have for regular business, so it's up to staff comments now.
No additional comments?
Great.
Well, we have one tenant in the marina that we don't know if they're going to be defaulting, but we could have two vessels that we're going to have to either auction or they could come here, let's kind of deal with it, and that just gave me yesterday. So we're working on that, but other than that, you know, the yard is actually starting to thin out. We're going to start to go back out and try to get more business directly for the shipyard. Boat yard is doing pretty strong, is doing pretty well, but still we have a lot of turns. But we're getting boats coming in and out. But, you know, July traditionally goes down quite a bit, but we don't want to see any of those lapses. We want to maintain a lot stronger, so we're going to go out and try to get more business directly. Give you a little bit of feedback from some of the trades. They said, you know, they were able to close a little bit of business by having that, the revised yard rate structure for longer term. I mean, it was one piece of business, but they extended out like 20 different additional jobs on the vessel. So it worked in one instance. We need more of those, but that's good.
Yeah.
So the vessels that we have that are in arrears, are they abandoned or just in arrears, or if we
both? If they become a derelict, we've dealt with them as a derelict, but they have fees associated with them that are still, they're being carried on the books, for example. And we're dealing with each of those kind of individually.
We don't expect any litigation over any schedule.
No, but we might end up having to, you know, we might have to like take possession of the vessel and sell them as soon as possible. I mean, they're operating the vessels that are in the water, but this individual owns two vessels that were in the marina. So
this is a tenant that's not gonna, a mortgage tenant.
A mortgage tenant.
Not a lease tenant. In other words, some business isn't going out of business.
No.
And leaving boats here.
It's a mortgage tenant. Okay. That looks like they may have abandoned their vessels.
Oh, I see.
So there's two of them. There's a 56 footer and a 20 footer, I think, 21 footer. So, but they've been operating, so we might just have to, we're going to have to start the process.
I do have one additional item, and that is that I understand that the at least two of the commissioners are going to be attending the Port Townsend Marine Trades Association meeting tomorrow evening, and so. Mr. Schmelick, would you like to weigh in on a gentle reminder to the commissioners on their attendance of a quorum at a meeting like this?
Sure. I think the safest course of action is to call a special meeting.
Hang on a second, Frank.
This man, we're going to turn you out.
Okay.
I recommend that the safest course of action is to call a special meeting for the purpose of attending where three of you are going to attend. That way you can sit together and discuss it and take it into account. If you don't want to do that, then you have to sit apart and not really discuss this. You're just there to listen. Okay, so it's not a meeting of the three of you. It is, in fact, three of you attending some other meeting, not discussing it between yourselves. Special meeting notes are easy to call. You just post them. I would recommend that you post it as a special meeting if all three of you want to go. Many ports do that every time three commissioners or two commissioners go anywhere, including the WPPA.
Mm-hmm.
They post it as a special meeting. Then there's no question. You can talk about it. And you know, presumably you'll be there, the executive director's with you, mm-hmm. and you can get immediate feedback and move forward. But that's the recommendation. Post as a special meeting. Yeah.
So do we have ample time to do that? It
24
is,
hours. Yeah.
For me?
24 hours in advance.
We have enough time.
We have enough time.
We have enough time. I don't know that we have enough time to meet the newspaper deadline. Don't we have to submit it to the newspaper as well, Frank?
24 hours in advance, you have to submit it to. 24 hours in advance, you have to publish a notice by putting it on the meeting place where you normally meet.
Okay.
And you have to send it to the radios where that have requested notice and then send it to the newspapers. 24 hours in advance.
Right.
So you're okay.
So we don't have to get together and actually adjourn or convene a meeting. We used to have it published on the calendar, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I'll give you the exact site here in just a second. So. Special meeting, you have to you can be called by the presiding officer, and give a notice to each member, delivered to each local newspaper, and each local radio station or television station has on file with the governing body a written request to be notified. Post it on your website and post it at the main entrance to where you principally meet. So you just say, we're going to have a special meeting. We're going to attend this other meeting. And that way, commissioners, you can sit together and talk about it or do whatever you want to do.
So you said the presiding officer has to call it. Do I have to actually do anything tonight of a special meeting to get us all together and say we're having a meeting, or we're just posting of it on the in the various places?
No, all of the posting stuff occurs after you decide. It can either be the presiding officer or a majority of the body. So two of the commission or the commission president can call a special meeting. Just tell your staff, let's just note that as a special meeting. You send a notice out, and then tomorrow you can attend. The advantage of that is you can talk about it, and you can talk for the porch. You can be there.
Okay, so we want to do that, Frank. Like, call that special meeting now, or because this meeting's tomorrow night.
Yeah, just you're gonna. Yeah, just tell the staff to post a notice of a special meeting, and
they'll
do that.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Now you can all sit there and talk about it, and the notice just says to attend this meeting, to hear anything, no decisions will be made, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I.
And then is the executive director going to attend?
Yes.
So presumably the executive director sits with you, and you can have conversations with your executive director about it as well.
Yep.
So in the absence of this notification, that for some reason two of us show up at the same venue, is there a prohibition against like getting up and expressing your opinion to the assembled, knowing that you have another commissioner in the audience?
Okay, so now we're dealing with how comfortable you are walking closer to the line. Two of you attend the meeting. It's like you both show up to see the new Star Wars movie.
Right.
And you both watch it in the theater. You both go to the city council or something and you watch something. It's probably not a meeting because it's not a meeting of the governing body. But then two of you say, you know, I'm going to put in a request for reimbursement for my per diem for going to the meeting. Now we're getting closer to the line. One of you gets up and talks and the other one hears it. And then now we're getting closer to the line. And then the other one gets up and responds. Now we've crossed the line. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay.
So it's always easier to just note it as a special meeting if you want to attend. Where do you not go to special meetings? You're both going to go to an open house. You're both going to go to a hospice dinner or something. But when it's some kind of an official action, my advice is to note it as a special meeting, because then you're just clean. And I'm sure Sue can note special meetings pretty quickly.
She could if she was here.
Yeah.
Well, definitely because she's not here, she can post notices quick, no.
Yeah.
We can post a notice, and I can help if she's not here, just, I can send you a notice, pretty simple.
We've got it, we just, yeah, there was an emergency, so, well, we can take care of it.
Yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm, okay.
But then you have complete flexibility because it's been noted as a special meeting, so.
Okay.
You can't vote on anything, but to the extent you wanna talk about it, or talk amongst yourself, talk to the executive director, it's a lot more productive probably for you, and then there's no problem as well as putting in your per diem requests.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, okay. Any other staff comments?
Nope.
Okay, commissioner comments?
None. Had a lovely field trip with the NODC. Went around to the Wooden Boat School and Finn River and a piece of wooded land that the open space wants to pick up. Not much else going on. That's it for me.
Okay. I had a community group with Sam and I went to speak to, and interestingly, I sat right next to Vic Dirksen, who you may remember was the hospital administrator, and he was there for like over 30 years, and I had an interesting conversation about commissions, and he said that when he first took over the hospital commission, it was a 3-member board, and he said he could see the dysfunction immediately, and he went to the change to a 5-member board, and that made things go swimmingly because people could talk to each other. And I'm always asked, how do you guys do anything when you can't talk to each other? And I've always heard of people that have either been on 5-member boards or on 3-member boards, but never anyone that's transitioned. And Vic seemed to be all for it. So I just thought I'd bring that up, and we might want to think about it a bit. And the last thing is I'm looking forward to the brain trace thing tomorrow night. So that's all the comments. The next public workshop is going to be Wednesday, July the 18th at 1.
And the executive sessions.
And yeah. See, July the 18th, then we have another work. That's a midweek, an in between our normal 2-week one.
Interstitial.
An interstitial workshop.
What is that workshop about?
I don't have, I'm sorry, I don't have my calendar up.
So that one's at 1:00. Now, we were gonna change some of these workshops to 3. Because Pete, you were finding it hard to get to 1:00. So is 1:00 okay on that one, the interstitial one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, and then the next one is a public workshop on the second Wednesday, the fourth Wednesday of the month, July the 25th at 3:00 with a regular meeting at 5:30.
On the 20th, which one were you asking about? I have the calendar.
The
18th. The 18th is discussion review of proposed budget process and schedule.
Right. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So that's all for the regular meeting. So we're now going to adjourn into an executive session for what?
Probably need 2. How long is each one going to last?
I'd say at least an hour.
Yeah.
An hour?
30. An hour each?
No.
Hour total.
And no decisions.
Okay, say that again.
Executive session is adjourned at 4:58.
You reconvened and now you're during the whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Maxwell Hammer.
And now I'll stop that again. Okay.